Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord, but more importantly, it's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I wouldn't want to be in his house if he wasn't here. Amen. But I'm glad tonight that he is and has chosen to manifest himself in this sanctuary tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. I never, ever want to take for granted God's presence and God's goodness. Amen. It would be easy to do, wouldn't it? Amen. He's just so gracious and so good to us. But never do I want to just assume. But always I want to entertain somehow the presence of the Lord and let him know that I do appreciate him. Amen. And I'd be lost literally without him. Amen. But I'm so glad that he comes to us always at the point of our need. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be home. Amen. I'm glad to be here tonight. And we missed being here. Had some good church while we were gone, but it's good to be home tonight. You can be in a church where there's a lot of good things, and there were. Amen. But still, it's not home. Amen. This is home. Hallelujah. Amen. And I am glad to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. Going to a familiar portion of Scripture, I would like for us to go to the second chapter of the book of Acts. And I would like to read some familiar verses, beginning with chapter number 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
All right.
Anybody glad to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Anybody here filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. I want to talk to us tonight about, well, what about the Holy Ghost? Why do we make such a big deal of the Holy Ghost, Brother Hart? Amen. You know, there are some folks don't make a big deal about it. But I want to make a big deal about it tonight. I want to try to answer a question, well, what about the Holy Ghost? Amen. If God thinks it's a big deal, I think it's a big deal. Amen. Praise God. I think it'd be good if you'd turn around your neighbor and give him a big old handshake and a big smile, biggest one you can find. Amen. And then you can be seated. Adam and Eve were given one prohibition, one exclusion, one commandment. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Everybody say free. That's my next to favorite price. The only thing that's better than free is if somebody pays you to take it. And that don't happen very often. Amen. You may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now that was the only commandment. We talk a lot about the Ten Commandments. Amen. Well, we can't keep ten if we couldn't even keep one. And if we can't keep one, we sure can't keep 613 like the Jews made up. Amen. So commandments then, what is it people say they're made to be broken? Well, that may not be the way it really should be, but that seems to be the way that it is. So God made one prohibition, and He said, don't eat of that tree. Amen. Now, God never intended that man should know good and evil. Now, He intended that man should know good. That was His desire. Man wanted to be like God. Amen. And according to what the devil expressed, there was a tract printed some years ago by the Search for Truth publication. And it was a beautiful tract. It had a beautiful white cover on the front. And it just had one black spot in the center of it. And the words said this. It was a question. It said, what do you see? Well, everybody said, I see a black spot. Well, what about all that beautiful white background? You know, there was a whole lot more white background than there was that little old black spot. But all the attention was attracted to that one spot on that beautiful, beautiful white background. And isn't that how temptation and sin is? You know, of all the trees in the garden, I mean, there were literally thousands and thousands and thousands of trees and plants and bushes and fruits and vegetables and all kinds of good things that Adam and Eve could freely graze on. I mean, just all over the garden, anywhere they were, there was stuff to eat, and it was all good, and it was all free. All they had to do was just reach out and take it. But in that garden, there was one single solitary tree that God said, don't eat that one. Well, you know which one they gathered around? And we can't be too hard on Adam and Eve. It's in all of us, isn't it? You ever walk by a sign that said wet paint? What do you want to do? Well, I want to see if it's wet. You may not, but you sure want to. Somebody sets a plate down and says, don't touch that, it's hot. Well, let me see just how hot. The thing is, they never set it in the right place. Always have to move it a half an inch or so just to get it just right. But there's just something about us. When there's that little spot, that's the one thing that draws our attention. Not all of the perfect and pure goodness that was all around. And so they were drawn to that one thing. And of course, they ate the fruit. And immediately, when disobedience came, judgment came. You can't do wrong and get away with it. Now, God's judgment doesn't always come as swiftly as we might think, or as we might want for somebody else. Right? We see somebody else do wrong, we think, God, you ought to do something about that. But if we do wrong, oh, Lord, now please just hold off a little bit. Have mercy on me. Go ahead and let Him have it, but have mercy on me. Amen. Hypocrite. Isn't that the way we are? Everybody smile. I'm not preaching to you. I'm just observing some things. But isn't that the way we are? Amen. Yeah, we see somebody else, especially if they do wrong to us. Sick them, Jesus. Get them, Lord. But if I do wrong, oh, Lord, please have mercy on me. Amen. And so Adam and Eve, through disobedience, but their judgment came. And man discovered something. He not only discovered right and wrong, but he discovered that he had no power to do what was right. That was the big problem. It wasn't just that he knew what was right and he knew what was wrong, but he didn't have the power to resist the wrong and do the right. And we struggled with that through centuries of time and thousands of years and the millennia that passed. And we couldn't find a way to do good. God helped. He sent us the law through Moses. The law came. Law's a good thing. I said law is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with law. Law gives it gives some boundaries and some guidelines for life. And some people really need that. Some people. Some people don't have good discernment. I learned to appreciate laws. When we lived in Colombia, in Bogota, they had the same laws we do, but there were not enough people to enforce them. So to drive a car down the road was almost like suicide. I mean, they had red lights, but nobody paid any attention to them. They were just pretty decorations, I guess. They had stripes down the road just like we do. They just didn't pay any attention to them. I was on a bus one night going from Bogota to Cali, and we got up in the mountains, and there was a landslide, and dirt had fallen down across the highway. And of course, we couldn't go through, so we stopped. And there was equipment that was clearing that. They brought in bulldozers and trucks, and they were clearing the road and trying to get it where the traffic could pass through. And it was a process of hours of time. And we were right there, just solitary, one bus. And all of a sudden, a car pulled up behind us. And then another car, and another car, and another car, and a bus, and another car. And they started piling up behind us. And then somebody noticed that other lane over there, just two lanes on a mountain road, and that other lane, there was nobody there, so they started filling that lane up. Guess what they did on the other side? Same thing. So all of a sudden, they got the road clear, and we couldn't go anywhere. Because everybody was thinking, well, I'll just get around here real quick. I'm faster than this bus. I'll be out of his way. You better not ever try to outrun those buses. I don't know how they do it, but you won't outrun them. So they start stacking up, and all of a sudden, everybody just thinking, well, you know, the law, it applies to everybody else. Except me. I just need to get here real quick, and then I'll be out of your way. And the one behind him thinks the same thing, and behind him's the same thing, and behind him's the same thing. And the next thing you know, there's a law, but because there's no enforcement, doesn't mean anything. You come to a stop sign or red light, whether it's in your lane or not, you better stop or slow down a whole lot. Because chances are, nobody else is going to stop on the other side. And so that's what it's like to live in a place where there's law, but nobody pays attention to it. Here we have pretty good enforcement, and if you forget, there's some folks that'll remind you. Amen. Very politely, and they'll slap you with a little fine that'll get your attention for a few days. And it'll hit you right where it hurts, right in the pocketbook. And you'll get good for a little while. You'll start paying more attention. And so law is a good thing because it makes everybody obey certain rules. And it has enough teeth that if we don't obey the rules, then there's a punishment that comes. But the law taught us good things like honesty, morality, modesty, and the sanctity of marriage. Isn't that a good thing? Proper relationships between people. The law taught us good things. It was all just good stuff. But the problem is the law could not make people be good. Do you know our prisons are overflowing tonight? Not because we don't have laws. We have good laws. We have a lot of laws. We've got a law for almost everything. But we can't make people be good. There's a little boy one time, that was his prayer. He said, make me be good. Well, he won't do that without, he can't do that without violating the will that he gave you. So God will never force us to be good. He will help us to be good, but he cannot and will not force us to be good. So man then knew right from wrong, but he could not do the right that he knew. You know, Paul talked about that, didn't he, in the book of Romans, I believe in chapter 7, when he talked about, he said, these laws that are in him, he said, I know what is right to do. He said, but I cannot do what's right. There's another law in my members warring against the law of right, and I do that which is wrong. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, I know what's right, but I can't do what's right. That's the war. Anybody identify with what I'm saying tonight? Do you understand what we're talking about here? When we talk about this war that's going on, we know what's right. We want to do what's right, but we find ourselves doing what's wrong. Well, that was the weakness of the law. That was its failure. And so the law could not make us do right. The law could not justify us. As a matter of fact, it was the opposite. The law condemns us. You know, the law is pretty cut and dried. It doesn't consider motives. It doesn't consider your situation. It just simply, it's cut and dry. Thou shalt not steal, period. And then whatever the law is, it's just strict and straight and harsh and hard and unbending. That's the law. Now, hopefully we have some people that can interpret the law. But laws are binding. They're intended to be that way. They must be that way. The law is not about justifying you. The law is about condemning you when you do wrong. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be guilty before God. Aren't you glad for God's Word? I'm so thankful for the Word of the Lord tonight. Amen. But, you know, just because we have the Word of God, if we don't believe the Word of God, Brother Hart, it doesn't do us any good. If we get to the place that we don't think this matters anymore, some people say, well, you know, I just don't really believe the Bible like I used to. I've gotten so educated that I don't really believe the Word of God anymore. I don't think it really means what it says. And without getting political, we're in a little bit of trouble in our national scene because we have some lawmakers that don't think our Constitution means what it says. And that we don't really need to go by the Constitution anymore. And that we need to change the Constitution to fit what we want instead of what our founders intended. Well, we can do that, but we'll not have the nation that our founders intended. You can change it. The same way with the Word of God. You can change the Word of God to fit you, but it'll no longer be what it would have been, what God intended for it to be. If you use the Word of God to excuse your sin, then you will die in your sin. The Word of God was intended to deliver you out of your sin. So we cannot, we must not change or edit the Word of the Lord. We have authority as the people to amend our Constitution. We can change it. There is a way to do it, a legal way to do it. But you don't have that authority to change the Bible. God never said we could amend the Word of the Lord. He didn't give us that authority. Amen. He said, as a matter of fact, He said it is forever settled. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He said, not one little accent mark. Is there one little punctuation mark? He said, even that's not going to change. This is more settled than anything that is found in the whole world stands on the Word of God. The creation exists and is in order and stays in its orbit by the Word of God. Friend, this is the most sure thing there is. There's nothing more sure than the Word of the Lord. But He did issue a warning. He said, if you change the Word of the Lord, He said, the curses that are in this book, they're going to be added to you. If you add to it, or if you take away from it. That's where we got to be careful. You may have some good beliefs that you really believe in, good opinions, but do not make them the Word of God. If you've got an opinion, you make sure that people understand that that's your opinion. And if you say the Word of the Lord said, you better be sure that's what it said. Amen. It's important that we not edit the Word of the Lord or change it. Amen. It's got to stay the Word of God as He intended when He wrote it and gave it to us. All the law really can do is make you guilty. Isn't that right? It establishes guilt. If somebody can prove that you were contrary to the law, all the law says is you're guilty. It cannot justify you. It can just establish your guilt. So that's what the law of Moses did. It showed us what was right and wrong, and that was good. But it couldn't help us to do right. All it could do was condemn us. We needed something more. We needed something more. And God, in His grace, brought us something better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise. Nobody could have done this but God. You see, God found Himself on the proverbial horns of a dilemma. Because God loved man. But God hated sin. But the sin that God hated was inside of the man that God loved. So what was God to do? Was He to destroy the man that He loved to get rid of the sin that He hated? You know what He did? He said, well, all I know is to become a man. And so God was manifest in the flesh. And God came and took upon himself the form of a man. And he had human blood just like yours and mine. And he had flesh just like yours and mine. And the Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are. Hell had a heyday trying to make Jesus Christ sin. But the Bible said he was tempted in always like as we are, yet without sin. He was the victor. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says, he that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. He became what he was not, so that we could become what we were not. Hallelujah. He came down to our level so he could lift us up to his level. He became like us so he could make us to be like him. So he came and he became something for us. And God himself, God set the price for the remission of sins. The devil didn't set it. Angels didn't set it. Human beings didn't set it. God said, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. And when he said that, he didn't have any blood. He was a spirit. But he set the price so high that the devil couldn't pay it. And the angels couldn't pay it. And human beings couldn't pay it. And in the fullness of time, God paid the price. The scripture says that we were bought with the blood of God. Now, if you don't know who Jesus is, that just tells you. He's God. Amen. That was God's blood. Hallelujah. You talk about a precious price. Amen. And that blood was so precious and so priceless that it could cover all sin. You know, it's illustrated. God illustrated so beautifully, because you remember in the law, they would bring these sacrifices. Lambs and goats and bullocks and turtle doves and all kinds of offerings. And they would bring those offerings to the temple and the tabernacle, and they would offer those sacrifices. And the scripture says it would roll their sins ahead. That's all it did. It just said next year we'll do this all over again. And so next year, they'd do it again, and they'd do it again. It was rolling their sins ahead. Where was it rolling them to? Where was that sin of a nation going? It was going to a place called Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But on Calvary, the blood of Jesus Christ did what mountains of carcasses of animals and rivers of their blood could not do. The blood of Jesus Christ has done for us, because it washed away for all time all sin. That blood flows back through Calvary all the way back to Papa Adam and Mama Eve. But it flows down the other side. And 2011, on August the 3rd, it's in Athens, Texas. Hallelujah. And it's still powerful enough to cleanse the sin of every man and woman that's in this place tonight. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. So God shed his blood for us. Now, the blood takes care of our past. The blood takes care of what I did. But I still need some help with what I'm going to do. The blood deals with what happened yesterday, but I need something to help me with today. I'm glad that God took care of my past, but I need help tonight, and I'm going to need help tomorrow. I don't have the ability in myself to keep doing good. I've got to have some help. And so God said, well, I got a cure for that too. With my blood, I'll deal with the past. But he said, I'm going to give you something precious. And that's where the Holy Ghost comes in. And that's why the Holy Ghost is so precious. Because the Holy Ghost is the power of God unto righteousness. The Holy Ghost helps us to do right. Now, let me clarify. The Holy Ghost won't make you do right. But it will give you the power to do right. Now at least you have a fighting chance. Now at least you can make a decision. Before I had the Holy Ghost, you know, it would overcome us. But now, if sin overcomes, it's because I let it. Isn't that right? Because we do have the power in the Holy Ghost to be an overcomer. Because the Spirit that was in Jesus Christ that caused Him to overcome sin continually. The same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ is in us. And the Spirit that kept Him is able to keep us. The power of the Holy Ghost that made Him an overcomer, it'll make you an overcomer. It'll make me an overcomer. Praise God! That's what's so great about the Holy Ghost! That's why we get excited about the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord! I mean, there's some folks tell you, oh, brother, you got to sin a little bit every day. It's not what the Bible says. It's not what God intended. Amen. He didn't come to give us an excuse. He came to give us victory. He came to make us triumphant. He came to make us overcomers. He said, but if, might say if. If. He said, if any man fail, or any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But there's a big if there. You see, He doesn't intend for you to fail. He didn't set you up for failure. He doesn't intend for you to walk every day as a failure. He wants you to walk in victory. He wants you to walk in power. He wants you to walk in righteousness. But if you fail, it's not over. If we confess our sin, He's just and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. But the Holy Ghost is to give us power to be overcomers. Isn't that right? Amen. This is what the Scripture said. Holy Ghost, in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the Holy Ghost comes to give us power. To make us a dynamo. Amen. And that's what produces electricity and powers. A dynamo. Amen. The Holy Ghost makes us a dynamo. Praise God. And when it gets a stirring on the inside of you, anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Praise the Lord. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, stir up the gift that's in you. Amen. Don't let it lay dormant, but keep it stirred up. Amen. If a dynamo ever stops, it's useless. But as long as it's moving, amen, it's generating. It's making power. It's making electricity. It's doing something. As long as it's active, don't ever let it get still. Don't ever let it stop. Don't ever get so relaxed that the Holy Ghost is not moving. You got to keep it stirred up inside of you through prayer and praise and worship and service unto the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So this Holy Ghost, what's so great about the Holy Ghost? I'm trying to tell you. It's power. Woo! Hallelujah. I like that. Amen. The Bible said, call His name Jesus because He shall save His people from their sins. Not in their sins. He didn't come to give us excuses. He came to give us power. He came to give us deliverance. He came to make us overcomers. Praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost does, folks. It's the power of God unto righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. First of all, the Holy Ghost is a gift. A gift is something that you receive. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. You can't earn it. It's just given. Isn't that great? It's just given. Now, this is why some people have a hard time receiving the Holy Ghost. Because they want to earn it. Well, what do I do to get the Holy Ghost? Receive it. Huh? Receive it. Just receive it. Amen. You see, that's the tough part for some folks. They're so used to earning everything. And so what do I do? Well, you just believe. And you just receive it. It's just the grace of God, and it just He just gives it to you. Amen. I've said this before, and let me explain it again, that the Holy Ghost, it's like this bottle here. You see, this bottle, if it, as long as the top's on it, you can't fill this up. If you put this bottle down in the water and it's got a top on it, it's not going to fill up. Repentance is taking the top off. Believing God and worshiping God and receiving is taking the top off. As soon as you can believe and begin to receive, the top's off, and if you put that bottle and submerge it underwater, it will fill up. There is no doubt about it. It will fill up. Amen. And when you start seeking the Holy Ghost, you get in that place of worship and faith, and you believe in God, and you're surrendered, and you're ready to receive, you will receive the Holy Ghost. We live, here's what some folks don't understand, we live in a sea of Holy Ghost. I know there's sin everywhere. I know there's unrighteousness everywhere. But the whole world is full of the glory of God and the Spirit of God. There's nowhere you can go that the Spirit of God's not there. Oh, yeah. We may not like to think about that, but it's in every movie house. Yes, it is. It's in every house of ill repute. It's in every home. It's in every beer joint. It's in every club. It's everywhere. There's no place you can go that the Spirit of God is not. Some places, He's just a silent witness. But other places, like this, He chooses to reveal Himself. That's why I like to come here, Brother Hart. Because He's not a silent observer around here, but He joins in, hallelujah, when we begin to praise and worship the Lord and glorify Him. He joins us. Amen. So the presence of the Lord is manifest here. The Holy Ghost is everywhere. That's why you can get the Holy Ghost anywhere, that it's manifest. Amen. I've known women to get the Holy Ghost washing dishes at home. I know one guy, he was so aggravated. He prayed for the Holy Ghost. He was jealous because his wife got it and he didn't. He wouldn't hardly talk to her, so upset. He was so stubborn. The only time God could give that man the Holy Ghost was while he was asleep. He woke himself up talking in tongues. He wanted, God saw he wanted it. God saw he believed it, but he couldn't get him to relax and just receive it. So he woke up one night talking in tongues. And his wife called me on the phone, Brother Grissom, Richard just got the Holy Ghost. Amen. She said, when he gets it, when he's sleeping and wakes up talking in tongues, does that count? I said, that counts. Amen. So all kinds of ways, you can get the Holy Ghost just about anywhere. Most people get it in church, but you can get it other places. But if you get it someplace else, that doesn't mean you don't need to come to church. Somebody said, well, I got the Holy Ghost at home, so that must mean it's all right for me to stay home. Oh? Let me give you a verse. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be having more church today than we ever had. Not less. Amen. Some folks, you know, they're cutting out service, just having one service. Amen. No. We need to have more services. Not less. We need more. And so the Bible says that God just graciously pours out the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the gift of God. Amen. The Holy Ghost is a gift. Everybody say a gift. The Holy Ghost is a comforter. One little boy, he was hanging around the church, and after church, everybody's leaving. Everybody's gone. Pastor come up. The little boy's still there. And he said, son, what are you waiting for? He said, I'm waiting for my blanket. He said, what do you mean, blanket? He said, well, my Sunday school teacher said I was going to get a comforter. Amen. He didn't understand. Amen. The comforter, it's not a blanket. It covers like a blanket. It warms us like a blanket. It protects us like a blanket. It brings peace and tranquility like a blanket. But it's not one. Actually, the word is a paraclete. The word paraclete means somebody that comes alongside to help. Amen. So that's what the Holy Ghost does. When you need Him, He comes alongside and He helps. Whatever it is that you need, whatever you're going through, whatever your situation, the Holy Ghost comes alongside with one purpose. He doesn't come to beat you down. He doesn't come to condemn you. He doesn't come to curse you. He doesn't come to disturb you. He comes alongside to help you. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Amen. Jesus said it like this. John 14, verse 15. He said, if you love me and keep my commandments, I will pray the Father and He will give you another comforter. So you see, He's getting ready to go away physically for a few days. Amen. And then He says, and He'll abide with you forever. Jesus Christ in the physical body did not come here forever. He just came to fulfill a purpose. He came to be our sacrifice and our Savior as a human being. Amen. But after His crucifixion, His resurrection and His glorification, then He became a spirit being, although He has a physical form. They could see Him and they could touch Him, and yet He could walk through a wall, whether there was a door there or not. And wherever He wanted to be, there He was. Won't that be wonderful? That's what we're going to have. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That's why it's exciting, amen, that when we get our new body, this old body, you know, the longer we live, the worse it gets. But I'm going to have a new body one day, and it's going to be like unto His glorious body. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's going to be Holy Ghost body. Amen. It's not going to be a Hollywood body. You know, see, Hollywood establishes what people think is beautiful here. And if you don't live up to their image, then people look down on you. I've never read so much about people being fat in my whole life. There's always been fat people. But all of a sudden, it's terrible to be fat. It used to be looked upon as a sign of prosperity. In some cultures, it still is. Where there's not enough to eat, and people can be fat, that's a good thing. But we live in a culture that thinks everybody's got to be skinny. That's stupid. God made fat people and God made skinny people. Amen. The Bible says the fat is the Lord's. So He's got more of some of us than He does of others. Well, we're getting into false doctrine now. Better watch it. Taking comfort where we can find it. I do understand the dangers of obesity on health. I do understand that. So I'm not, but I'm just, what I'm trying to do here is to draw a picture of how our culture tries to squeeze people and bring condemnation upon people and make people feel like they've got to look like somebody or be like somebody or they're nobody. That's wrong. Amen. And when we get our new body, Brother Hart, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but I know one thing, when they saw Jesus Christ, they recognized Him. He wasn't so skinny they didn't know who He was anymore. Amen. So whatever our new body is, amen, it's not going to hinder us. But it's going to be recognizable. People, when they see you, they will know you. Amen. And so, but the Holy Ghost then is it's going to come as a help to us. It comes alongside to help us, to be with us. So Jesus said, it's going to be with us forevermore. And then He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world will never receive truth. That's where we are right now. We're in this battle for truth and unrighteousness. Yeah, and then we're on opposite sides. Amen. And it's getting more fierce every day. Amen. You know, they passed a law recently, I think last month, that in the state of California, that gay pride has to be taught. It has to be a part of the curriculum in the public school. It must be taught. They have to teach it. It's not if you're a teacher, it's going to be part of the curriculum and you must teach it. Well, I could teach it from Genesis and a few other places, but they wouldn't like what I taught. But it is gay history. It doesn't sound so gay. But anyway, that's not what they're looking for. They're going to make the curriculum. And they're going to pick some dead folks that are going to be gay whether they wanted to be or not. Boy, it's getting serious, folks. Let me meddle here a minute. I read today that, you know, Archie comic books used to be entertaining at one point in time. But they've got a new issue now. And I forget the kid's name, but now they've got a gay character. And poor old Spider-Man, he's getting killed. They're going to knock him off, and he's going to come back. But he's going to come back as perhaps a gay character. Why all this? Because they don't want to accept truth. They don't want to believe truth. The Bible says here that the world will not receive the Spirit of truth. Will not. Will not. We had our seminar last year in November, and my, what a great seminar that was about creation science. He did a tremendous job. There is not one iota, not one thing that points to evolution. Not one. Not even one. And yet it's taught in our schools and our universities as a fact. And if you don't believe it, you're looked upon as uninformed and ignorant. And yet there's no evidence whatsoever to support it. What is the problem here? That's the spirit of error fighting against the spirit of truth. We're in that battle, and we're going to stay in that battle until the rapture of the church. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But He said, you know Him. Now, how do we know? He said, because He dwelleth with you, and He shall be in you. Hallelujah. He said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. You know who the Jesus is? He's the Holy Ghost. Amen. In a physical body, He's the Son of Man. in a spiritual form? He's the Son of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost. All of those are synonymous terms for God in a spiritual form. So we said, now, I can't get in you in a physical body. But when I come back as a spirit being, I will move inside of you. And I'll not just be with you, but I will be in you. And so that's what the Holy Ghost does. It comes inside of us. You think it's good to feel the Holy Ghost on the outside. You wait till you get it on the inside. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's what the Holy Ghost is. It's a comforter. It comes in to help us, to strengthen us, to change us. Amen. Praise God. And then I've had people say, well, I have to get the Holy Ghost. Well, that's the wrong question. What do you mean, do you have to get the Holy Ghost? Amen. Man, you can get the Holy Ghost. That's the good news. It's not what you got to do. It's what's available that you can have. Amen. That'd be like somebody coming up wanting to give me one of those Bayron cars and say, and I say, do I have to take this $2 million car? Is it going to make me take this little car that'll run 280 miles an hour? Am I going to have to drive this thing? Oh, I wouldn't say that. I'm not a real emotional person, but I might get pretty happy there for a minute. I'd sell that and put on my bills as far as it'd go. Amen. Right, so anyway, so that's not the question. Do I have to have the Holy Ghost? No, but you can have the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. It is a gift. The Bible said it's for you. It's for your children. And it's to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So yes, you can have the Holy Ghost. God wants you to have the Holy Ghost. Amen. I know how, what all happened. I understand it. I could give you historical perspective and all that, but you know, in the early church, just everybody got the Holy Ghost. It wasn't even a question. It wasn't, do I have to get it? They just got it. They were expected that they would receive it when they got baptized, or even before. When they heard about it, they just expected that they'd get the Holy Ghost, and they did. There wasn't any other church. It wasn't what this church taught and that church taught and the other church taught. There's just one church. And you were either in the church or you were not in the church. And then it got popular to be a Christian. And the people that wanted to stay in good with the king, when the king became a Christian, then they said, well, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to do what Christians do. So they started changing things. And they were intelligent people. And they were influential people. And they wanted to believe what they'd always believed, but they wanted to give it a new name, and they wanted to make it Christian. And so they did. And they brought their doctrines into the Christian church. And they began to change the doctrines that the apostles taught and Jesus taught. Here's my question, folks. Here's my question. People want to believe certain things, and there are certain doctrines that the world accepts and the church world accepts that were not even formed until 800 years after Jesus Christ. And that's the point. They say, well, these doctrines were not fully formed until 800 years after Christ. Well, why do I want to believe something that was 800 years after Christ when I can go back 800 years and believe Jesus Christ? Why do I want to believe something after all the apostles are dead and gone and it was formed through all these ages? And why do I want to believe that when I can go right back and just believe what the apostles taught and preached? So that's the point. I don't want to believe something that was stretched way out there. People have this, what they call progressive truth. That truth kept developing. I don't believe that. I believe what Jesus taught was truth. I believe what the apostles taught was truth. I believe what's in the Bible is truth. It's not progressive. It was complete. Amen. So we don't need to wait around. Just believe it and that's it. Amen. I'm going to take His word. Period. And so that's how all these doctrines and ideas and differences and all this stuff came in. But if you were part of the early church, you just got the Holy Ghost. And when you got the Holy Ghost, well, all we know is when they got the Holy Ghost, they talked in tongues. We just know that. How do we know that? Because that's what we read. Amen. Acts chapter 2. The Bible says what happened when they got the Holy Ghost? They spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Romans chapter 10 says, from the heart, confession is made with the mouth. So how do you know what happens in the heart? What comes out of your mouth? So when the Holy Ghost moves into your heart, it comes out of your mouth. And it speaks in a language that the Spirit gives you. And that's how you know that you know that you know that you know that you received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so it happened in Acts chapter 2. And then Acts chapter 10, Peter was preaching at Cornelius' household. Now these were Jews first time Gentiles ever had anybody preach to them. The Holy Ghost, Jews had been receiving the Holy Ghost for 12 years. And finally God twisted Peter's arm enough to get him to go to the house of a Gentile. And when he got there, man, they couldn't wait. The Bible said, while he was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, which believed. And these skeptical Jews that really didn't want to be there and certainly didn't believe God would give Gentiles the Holy Ghost. It says, but they knew they received the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And you better believe it. When they got back to Jerusalem, the council called them in, the general board, and they said, now, wait a minute, fellas. What were you doing in a Gentile's house? And Peter said, the Lord told me to go, but I took these 11 guys with me. And they said, well, what happened? They said, they received the Holy Ghost just like we do. And then they said, because we heard them. Talking in tongues. That's how they knew they got it. That's the biblical evidence, folks. Somebody said, well, you know, I believe. Well, in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, they believed, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They had joy in verse number 8, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They listened to Acts chapter 6, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. They didn't get the Holy Ghost till Peter and John came, laid their hands on them, and then they received the Holy Ghost. I mean, they had signs, they had wonders, they had miracles, they had joy, they believed, they had all kinds of things going on, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost until they laid their hands on them. And then they received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 19, Paul ran into some fellows one day, and he walked up, just a common greeting, he said, praise the Lord, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, wow, we hadn't even heard of the Holy Ghost. He said, how were you baptized? Does that matter? Apparently. Apparently it mattered to him. He said, well, how are you baptized? They said, well, under John's baptism. How did John baptize, Brother Hart? And in water, right? I mean, he ducked them, didn't he? Just like we do. The only difference in the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus is the name. That's the only difference. And they said, under John's baptism. Paul didn't say, well, that's good enough for me. No, he didn't say that. He said, you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he baptized them. And the Bible says, and he laid his hands on them, and they began to speak with tongues and prophesy when they received the Holy Ghost. So I'm just talking, this is a big deal, folks. Isn't it sad that the church world, by and large, has lost this? Every church in Athens, Texas, ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. Have a church in Texas, if it's a Christian church, ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. Have a church in the United States of America, if it's a Christian church, it ought to be full of the Holy Ghost. This is not just for the United Pentecostal Church. It's for everybody. And where people will believe it and receive it, it will come. You know what I find interesting? I was up in Indiana the other day, and we went to a church, nominal church. I'm not going to call them names. Don't want to offend anybody. But it was a nominal church. And we went, and it was real interesting, because on the sign there, it had the, what do they call those? Contemporary services. They call them rejuvenated services. And you know what that is? That service is where they clap their hands, and they raise their hands, and then they praise God out loud while the preacher's preaching. Now, they got fuddy-duddy services for those that don't believe in that. But when all of the fuddy-duddies go home, then those that really want to worship God come to church. Amen. It caused one guy, I don't forget his name, a popular author, he wrote a book, and he said it was How to Receive the Holy Ghost Without Being Pentecostal. Well, I don't know about that. Amen. If you got the Holy Ghost, you're Pentecostal because you got the experience of Pentecost. That's all that word means. You have received the Pentecostal experience. That's all that means. Just like Catholic. All the word Catholic means is universal. The church is Catholic. It's a universal church. It's everywhere. Amen. It's in every nation. Praise God. Hallelujah. All these labels we've stuck on it really don't mean anything. Man, But if you get the Holy Ghost, you're Pentecostal because you got the Pentecostal experience. That's all that means. That's why we use that particular name. So we identify with Pentecost. Amen. And so that's the whole reason for all of that. So they receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the Holy Ghost is a big deal, folks. It's still a big deal. It's still a big deal. Amen. And the Holy Ghost prepares you for the rapture. I'm going to quit here. I'm not through, but I'm going to quit. I'm sorry. I've held you a long time. But I'm excited about it. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 said, I'm sorry, let me go to Romans chapter 8 and 3. The Scripture said, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I know about you, but I'm not taking any chances. I want the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It said, because that's what's going to get me out of here. There was a song we sang many, many years ago. Some of you remember this. It said, the Holy Ghost power is moving just like a magnet. Amen. As it started in Jamaica. What that song meant was, you take a magnet and you move it over things, and it only attracts certain kinds of metal, doesn't it? But if certain kinds of metal have the properties that are attracted to that magnet, boom, they'll just grow up and they'll attach themselves to that magnet. Hey, man, not everything does, but if it's got the right properties, it does. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the rapture of the church. Hey, man, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, it's going to quicken your body just like it quickened the body of Jesus Christ. Hey, man, that's why I want the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. And it identifies me with Christ. Romans 8 and 9 said, but if you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Did you know one time Jesus spoke to some people? He said at the judgment, He said, they're going to call me Lord, Lord. But He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. They knew Him. They knew His name. They called Him Lord. But they didn't really know Him. And He didn't know them. Amen. It's important, folks, that you get the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's how you really identify with Jesus Christ. That's what makes you like Christ. Amen. Praise God. Cherie sang that song just a little while ago. Said that when she saw her reflection, she said, all I want to see is you. See, that's what the Holy Ghost does. It makes us like Him. Amen. You know, people get hung up on stuff. And I've heard people get all upset about standards in the church and all that. You know what the Holy Ghost will do? It'll just try to make you just like Jesus Christ. That's what it'll do. Isn't that a good thing? Isn't that a good thing? Amen. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Amen. It's not about somebody getting up and telling you all kinds of things. But if you have the Spirit of the Lord, it's going to make you want to be like Jesus Christ. And there are things that you'll change because you'll recognize, I don't want to be like that anymore. That does not reflect the Spirit of Jesus Christ. There's a word that's rampant in our world, and I hate the word, but they apply it to everything. 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 Cars. Anything. It's applied to anything. And they say, oh, that's sexy. The world uses that word to describe everything. You know why? Because they're sensual. And that's what they want to be. That's why they dress the way they dress. That's why they talk the way they talk. Yeah. That's why they act the way they act. Because everything is about their senses. But you see, when you get the Spirit of Christ, that's not what you're going to want to be. You're not going to want to be like that. You're not going to want to be sensual. You'll want to be spiritual. You'll not want to flaunt your physical self, but you'll want to grow your spiritual man. So you'll seek those things that add to your spiritual stature, not to your sensual physical stature. And you'll not weigh your worth by what people think about your physical form.
That's right, brother.
But what they think of your spirit. And am I like Jesus Christ? That's what matters, folks. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. It'll help us to value the right things. It'll help us to want to take part of the right kind of entertainment. It'll help us to go to the right places and do the right things, even if we're on vacation.
All right.
You know, you don't take a vacation from Jesus Christ.
Not ever.
I heard about some people one time. They said, Pastor, we won't be in church for the next 3 weeks, and we're on vacation. He said, where are you going? They said, nowhere. We're just on vacation. Huh? We're not going anywhere. We're just not going to church because we're on vacation. That's a little foreign to me. What if God decided to take a vacation from you? I'll see you in 3 weeks. You're on your own, bud. Because I'm going on vacation. Don't want anything to do with you for 3 weeks. All right, I'm through meddling. Let's stand together. Holy Ghost. What's so great about the Holy Ghost? Everything. Everything is great about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody tonight want the Holy Ghost? You haven't received it yet? You know what? You can. It's here right now. Some people make the mistake of saying, well, you know, when the Lord gets ready, He'll give me the Holy Ghost. Oh, no, 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 no. He was ready 2,000 years ago. God doesn't have some kind of a little cup, a little sippy cup, and He comes down there and He waits till you get ready and then He pours it on you. That's not how the Holy Ghost works. He poured it out 2,000 years ago, enough to cover the planet. And it's everywhere.
Amen.
And you take the top off, and it'll come in and fill you up. Amen. When you believe, you'll receive. And it'll just come in. Amen. Praise God. Well, how do I know the Lord wants me to have the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you why. Because He said, the promise is to you. I want you to have it. But what if I'm not good enough? You'll never get good enough. It's not about whether you're good or not. It's about being a gift from God.
Thank you, Jesus.
He wants to give it to you just because He loves you that much. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands right now and begin to praise the Lord. Amen. Let's begin to thank God. Hallelujah. If you have the Holy Ghost tonight, there ought to be something deep inside of you calling out to God. Thank you for this precious, precious, precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, for giving me this great and gracious gift. Thank you, God, for honoring me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you haven't yet received the Holy Ghost, I want you to know tonight, it's for you. God wants you to have it, and you can receive it. Amen. Just push everything else out of your mind. Amen. Just lift up your hands and lift up your voice and begin to thank God. Believe Him. Jesus, you said, amen, you promised the Holy Ghost. I want to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Just believe Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. And the Holy Ghost will come in. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost is here tonight. I said the Holy Ghost is here tonight. Amen. Praise God. If you want to be renewed in the Holy Ghost, there's no better time than right now. And there's no other place better than right here. Amen. Just come right now. Amen. Let's just come find us a place to talk to the Lord and begin to praise Him. Amen. Just begin to pour out your heart to the Lord. And amen. Jesus, I want to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. I've kind of let my heart get a little distant and my spirit's grown cold. And I've got my eyes on some things I shouldn't have been looking at. And I've kind of been distracted by some things. I want to get my focus back where it ought to be. Oh, I want to get my focus on the Lord. I want to get my fixation right here. Amen. I want to get fixed on Jesus. I want to reset my compass here tonight. Amen. I let my compass get a little distracted and I've been straying a little bit the wrong direction. God, forgive me. Help me. I want to get back to the right. I want to follow You. Amen. I want to get set with Jesus Christ. I want to get fixed and fixated only on You, Jesus. Amen. I need You more than I need the breath I breathe. I need You more than the breath I breathe. I need You more than anything in life, God. I need You tonight. You mean more to me. You mean more to me. Oh, nobody's ever done for me what You've done. Nobody loved me like You love me. You have forgiven me for my sins. Hallelujah, God. You loved me when I was unlovable.